Sigala and Ella Henderson and We Got Love. It's pretty much all we've got, people. I haven't even got that. Hey, how are you? I hope you're good. Welcome. Welcome to Live and Local with Bebe Lynch, Dame Bebe Lynch. Although I have changed my name on Twitter because of popular demand, one person, to Bobo Lunch. I'm Dame Bobo Lunch until after Christmas. That's my festive gift to you. We have a brilliant, brilliant show lined up for you tonight. We have music, we have guests, we have probably award-winning radio till 9 p.m. Shall we do it? Oh, the festive Pet Shop Boys, and it doesn't always snow at Christmas. I've never heard that before. I wonder if the Pet Shop Boys bought you a gift, what they'd get you. I think it'd be extravagant. So, hey, how are you? I hope you're good. We've got a lully, lully show for you tonight. From eight, we'll be enjoying. I'm kind of scared about this. So, you know, we play Upload all the time. We love our Upload. This is a festive Upload. And I've been told that some of these festive Uploads have been stored from previous weeks. I'm in for a huge treat. Now, the last time I was, that was promised me, ended up. Well, I can't even tell you the rest of that story. An hour of festive Upload from eight. Hearing your great contributions, and I'm wondering if I'm chatting with any of the creators. Sometimes I do. I wonder. And we have some delicious guests before then, including hilarious journalist and podcaster Tracy Davies and actor and director Gary Sefton talking about his fantastic one-man show Christmas Carol at the Spire. I went to see that, socially distanced, of course, with Tracy, actually. She follows me around. I adore it. I adore her. And the production is unbelievably brilliant and moving, and I cannot recommend it enough. So we'll listen to me just telling Gary how brilliant he is later. And then we've got TV reviews with Liam. We've got so much going on. It's going to be a packed show, and I hope you stay with us. First of all, though, it's the weather. And it's Sylvie with the weather for us. Oh, sorry, Sylvie, it's the travel. Do the weather too.
Disguised as the M25, which is running very nicely. In fact,
see, that's the first time I've heard any of the panto. Oh, Ollie, when can we all hear that? Soon? Christmas Eve. Can I just say something? So you may not know this about me, but I do have an equity card and I wasn't asked to be part of it. I'm fine. I'm fine with that. But my agent or my union or someone's going to get in touch. So it's Christmas week. There's only four days to the big day itself. Is it 4 days? And of course, one of the cornerstones of Christmas is eggnog and watching of festive TV. So what are the options this year? Liam Dempsey is a regular TV reviewer on the station. You know Liam. And he's a podcaster too. His podcast is called Spocklight, and it explores the Star Trek franchise from a non-Trekkie perspective. Oh, he's brave. So he's no stranger to throwing a critical eye over things. Hi, Liam.
Hello. I've never drinking eggnog. Would you recommend it?
No. It's
okay.
No, it's awful.
It will not
it's just alcoholic egg.
I mean, that sounds awful.
It doesn't it sound terrible.
But it is Christmas. And I am your streaming Santa, weighed down with a sack of festive TV treats, which I'm here to run down for you.
Now, do you want to hear something shocking?
Okay.
I don't have a telly.
Right. This is an interesting development. This is why I'm doing the TV reviews and you're not, right?
First of all, how are you? It's really lovely to speak to you. Tell me, what do you do with Spocklight? Do you upset the Trekkies?
Sometimes it has been known. We are completely the novices, the outsiders who have come to Star Trek to view it from a completely fresh perspective. So we often get things wrong, but I think a lot of people appreciate getting that kind of, you know, outsider perspective on the franchise, because, yeah, you know, a lot of people who are doing Star Trek podcasts are hardcore Trekkies who are getting dressed up as Klingons going to conventions. We offer something a little different. And I think people appreciate that.
And do you love Star Trek stuff now more or less?
More, definitely more. It has been, you know, been doing the podcast for over 4 years now, and it's been a journey. And yeah, no, definitely. You know, I definitely can see why it is so kind of beloved.
So, Star Trek. I'm just looking down the list. It's not on your list. There's nothing Star Trek-y.
It is not on the list. There is not a Star Trek Christmas special, which I think is absolutely outrageous. And there has never been a Star Trek Christmas special, which came as a problem when we were trying to do a Christmas special of our podcast, to be honest with you.
They let you down. They let you down. So what's on our list?
What were you doing?
What's on our list, Lee? What's your first
Christmas treats?
Sorry, say that again.
I was just saying, luckily we've got lots of other Christmas treats instead, and there is a sci-fi movie on the list. So there you go.
Go on then. So start the list.
Okay,
what's your favourite?
So I'm going to run things down. I am going to start with one of my favourite things. Mortimer and Whitehouse Gone Fishing. Now, this is a Christmas special of this. This was actually broadcast last Sunday, but still on iPlayer, and it's a Christmas special, so it's well worth shouting out, because this is truly one of the most joyous things on television. And in a difficult year, Mortimer and Whitehouse have been the balm that soothes all wounds for me. So I'm saving this to watch as a little Christmas present to myself. Anyone who has not seen Mortimer and Whitehouse Gone Fishing, it is literally Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse going fishing and having a bit of banter between each other, and it is one of the most enjoyable things you'll ever watch on TV. So it will all be on iPlayer. Literally just binge it over Christmas. You know, if you're a bit down the way things are at the moment, this is going to be the pick-me-up you need.
So Liam, tell me what the appeal is, because I haven't seen it, and I know, and I'm on Twitter way too much, and I know people love it, and it's just like it's universal adoration of the show. What is it about the show that everyone's just loving?
It's the personalities. Bob and Paul, I mean, you know, they are obviously comedy geniuses. You know, both of them have had terrific success in the comedy world over the years. But, I mean, they have a really beautiful friendship. And not only is it very, very funny, but it's beautifully shot. It absolutely looks amazing. Really shows you just how beautiful the British countryside is, and kind of what we're missing out on if we haven't explored our own country a little bit. But it also says a lot about the value of male friendship.
It's about friendship. Brilliant. That's so lovely.
Yeah, it is. It is lovely. That is exactly it.
And what's
so? I will move on to something else that is on as well tonight on BBC Two, 9 PM. Upstart Crowe lockdown Christmas special. So this is just a two-hand, almost like a film play, which is appropriate given that Upstart Crowe centres around the life of William Shakespeare. And a lot of these lockdown specials filmed during the pandemic haven't really appealed to me, but this was an ingenious way of using the 1603 setting to kind of focus on the plague and actually tell a lockdown historical story. And Upstart Crowe is definitely the best thing Ben Elton's written in years. So I think this could be a lot of fun and a really clever way of kind of making an episode of this right now.
Have you gone for comedies just because we're all so low?
Yeah, that's okay. We need a bit. Well, you say that, but the next thing on my list is another comedy on Sky Comedy, 9 PM tonight as well. Moonbase 8, which is John C. Reilly starring in a new comedy set in a NASA moonbase training simulator, preparing to travel to the moon itself. Now, it may sound very similar to Netflix's Space Force, but I've heard good things about this, and John C. Reilly is always worth watching. So there you go. It's another comedy to G you up before we get to the promised sci-fi I said I had on my list, which is a brand new big budget sci-fi Netflix movie, The Midnight Sky, which drops on Netflix on Wednesday, starring and directed by George Clooney. Now, George Clooney has a good track record when it comes to sci-fi. He starred in Solaris and Gravity, both brilliant sci-fi films. So hopefully he's taken what he learned there as an actor and applied it to his directing. With this movie, because I think, you know, if it matches up to them, it's going to be good.
So, you know, Moonbase, right? Is it, are they in like the space station? I'm feeling claustrophobic when you're talking about it, and because then you've just mentioned Gravity, so now I'm feeling doubly claustrophobic.
It's set in, Moonbase 8 is set inside a NASA Moonbase training simulator, I think in maybe Arizona. Right. So it's like it's a simulator. So the idea is that to prepare them for when they're actually going to go on the real moon base, which is being built at the time.
One Night in Hamleys, right? Sounds like, is this like an English Toy Story?
Yeah, so One Night in Hamleys on Channel 4, Christmas Eve, 9 p.m. So this comedian's Ramesh Ranganathan, Rob Beckett and Tom Allen locked overnight in Hamleys toy store in London. Now, to me as a kid, this would have been an absolute dream. So, you know, this has given me all the nostalgic feels. I'm very, very jealous of Ramesh, Rob and Tom being locked up in Hamleys overnight. It sounds wonderful. So, you know, I'm definitely all in for this, just so I can watch in pure nostalgic glee at them kind of running about this kind of toy store and having free reign overnight. Sounds fantastic. And then we move on to Christmas Day. The big Christmas Day offerings for me are Bridgerton, all dropping on Netflix on Christmas Day. That's Netflix's Christmas present to the world, which is a new period drama from Shonda Rhimes, obviously queen of Shondaland, the massive TV production company. It's produced things like Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder. And this is a colour-conscious period drama, kind of in the vein of something like Hamilton or something like that. And I think this is going to be really different from your stuffy period dramas like Downton Abbey or something like that. This is meant to be a real bodice-ripping romp with swearing and sex and all the kind of naughty things you can get away with on
Christmas
Netflix.
Day. You're trying to ruin Christmas, Liam.
On Christmas Day, straight after the Queen's speech, you put Bridgerton on, you're going to love it. There you go. That's Netflix on Christmas Day. And meanwhile, over on Disney Plus on Christmas Day, we've got Soul, which is the new Pixar film. Now, this should have been released in cinemas earlier this year, but sadly, because of the state of cinemas at the moment, was not released in cinemas and is going straight to Disney Plus on Christmas Day, the new Pixar movie. So this is the one that's going to be great for all the family. Jamie Foxx playing a jazz musician who gets killed in an accident and begins his journey to the afterlife. Sounds quite dark, but it's Pixar. It's going to be funny. It's going to be absolutely eye-popping animation. And it's probably going to be one you're going to need to get the hankies out for, I would imagine.
This next one on your list is the one that I really want to see.
Is this Billy?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, Billy Connolly, It's Been a Pleasure, ITV, 9:30 p.m, Monday, 28th of December. Now, unfortunately, Billy announced his retirement last year, due to his current illness. And there's a celebratory documentary all about him, which is this, with lots of kind of celebrity fans like Whoopi Goldberg stepping in to kind of celebrate his work and life, and also a new interview with Connolly himself. Kind of saying goodbye to the world of comedy, which is very, very sad, because Billy Connolly is a supreme stand-up talent. I've seen him live myself.
Have you?
Many years ago now. Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. Like, I think it was around 2007, something like that. And you know, he was just, it's so much energy. One of the greatest stand-ups of all time. There's absolutely no doubting that at all. That's going to be really bittersweet.
Perfect word,
comedian, but it's going to be nice to celebrate his work. And finally, now this, you were saying that's the thing you're most excited for. This, we're getting around to the thing I'm most excited for. Doctor Who, 6:45 p.m, New Year's Day. Now, funnily enough, considering I host a Star Trek podcast, I'm more of a Whovian than I am a Trekkie. And this is the Doctor Who New Year's Day special. We haven't had any Doctor Who since earlier this year. Revolution of the Daleks, the return of Captain Jack, the departures of Bradley Walsh and Tozin Cole from the show. The Daleks, Doctor Who's in prison. It's going to be sensational. I cannot wait.
Why is he in prison? Why is she in prison?
Why is she in prison now? Yeah, keep up.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, everyone.
Jodie Whittaker, and she has been imprisoned since the end of the last series, imprisoned by the Jadoon. We don't know why. I guess we'll hopefully find out in this special. But the Daleks are back, and that is always something to be excited about.
Has anyone ever beaten the Daleks?
Well, the Doctor, many times.
Liam, how old are you?
I mean, they turned up in the second ever Doctor Who story. So if they'd always won, this would have been a very short show. Wouldn't have gone beyond 1963.
Can I ask you something about One Night in Hamlets? Right. So if you were in Hamlet, how old are you actually?
I'm 35.
Right. Oh, you're too young, because you wouldn't have had the joy of the evil Knievel.
No, I did not have the joy of the evil Knievel.
Girls World?
When I was growing up, the top toys, it was Tracy Island, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters.
Honestly, it's like, I can't relate to you anymore now. I'm sorry.
Sorry. You say you never tried to make a Tracy Island out of sticky back plastic?
Seriously, I don't know. Who is he? Ollie, get him off the show. Who is he? No, I haven't. where can people, thank you so much for all that, because I of course can kind of check all that on my little phone. Where can people catch up with you and what you're up to in the podcast?
So you can find my podcast, Spotlight, at Spotlight Pod on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. And you can find me on Twitter at Liam H. Dempsey.
Oh, it's really lovely to speak to you.
It's really lovely to speak to you as well. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I hope you have a lovely Christmas.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, oh, it's only Nina Ridge with the weather, friend of family.
Oh, hi, BB. Good evening to you. I'd like to bring you better news.
BBC Radio Sussex. Travel.
And now it's Sylvie with the travel. So we had a lovely little listen to Superman. That was by Keith Urban. And that just now was the Jonas Brothers and Like It's Christmas. I tell you what's like Christmas. Going to see the extraordinary, brilliant Gary Sefton. Hi, Gary, at the Spire.
Hello.
Hello, you, in A Christmas Carol as Told by Scrooge. Gary.
Hello.
That was so... So Tracy Davies, who's on in a minute, a broadcaster, a podcaster and journalist, and I went to socially distant, super safe, the Spire to watch Gary. Gary, it was absolute... All I'm going to do is just tell you how brilliant you are for 10 minutes. It was absolutely brilliant.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It was really nice to see you there, and I'm glad that you felt safe. We've had quite a lot of comments saying that people feel safe. That's quite nicely spaced out. And doing our best to try and get people into the Christmas spirit if we can. I was just thinking back, actually. I've chatted to you through this entire pandemic.
I know, you're my longest relationship.
From when we began, right at the beginning in summer, and here we are at Christmas still chatting away about it. But yeah, we did it. We're up and running, and loving doing it. Yeah, it is just me on my own, but I've counted up my characters for you, just in case you ask me. I play 28.
It's honestly, and it's, you know, that whole willing suspension of disbelief. You kind of don't even know you're doing that. You know, the audience don't know. Yeah, because you are. It's just so brilliant. You're so talented, and it's brilliant. Who directed it?
A friend of mine, Stuart Angel, who, funnily enough, it's a brilliant sort of turnaround, because I mentored him from when he was a student. I taught him in youth theatre, and now he's getting his revenge back on me. But he's incredibly skilled, because he's not only is a terrific actor, but he's a very skilled puppeteer. So he's done War Horse and he's done quite a lot of the National Theatre. He did when they did Angels in America, he did a lot of puppeteering on the Wings and stuff. So he was a perfect kind of pairing, because I felt I knew the emotional sort of root of most of the characters, having done it before. I needed real skill in how to transform from one to the other. And I mean, I'm no stranger to kind of physical theatre. I've done quite a bit of it, but he really helped me put it together. And, you know, it was tough. I'm not going to lie. It was tough along the way on the journey, because you're always on your own. You're thinking, oh, it's just me, isn't it, coming on next? You think, oh, I can't wait till the Cratchits arrive. And then you think, oh, I am the Cratchits.
I don't know how you do it. The physical, the physicality in it is brilliant, but the script is really cool. It's really like, it's funny, it's emotional, it doesn't lose anything.
No, a lot of people have mentioned that, actually. Yeah, I think you do. I mean, it's quite interesting, because you know, with isolation, about a man being in isolation. And when we looked at it, I thought, well, you know, it's sort of like a man on his own doing it by himself. Because I've often thought, what would I do if I? Because I do occasionally get lost. I've got better at getting out of it, but occasionally I do go, who am I now? Sort of thing. But then I just sort of think it's sort of Scrooge doing it, as it were. Now, that might sound a little bit pretentious, but I try not to think it's me doing it. I try to think it's him creating all the different characters that visit him. And if they don't visit him, then potentially he doesn't change.
Yeah. And, okay. So you've got your kind of starting point, your constant.
Yeah, I've got that sort of world where that's sort of what I sort of thought about, really, was it's sort of like about isolation and then finding your own journey through it. I mean, it is pretty horrendous, isn't it, where we are at the moment. I've got a lot of friends now who are just now saying, you know, at Christmas, literally on my own, you know. Yeah. So it's quite resonant in that way. But it's been fantastic. We've had, you know, good audiences and stuff. It's been tricky as well because obviously people have got such different circumstances that often we, you know, people suddenly can't come. So we find ourselves with such a small audience, we find, you know, sort of space is empty. So if people did want to come, it's really worth checking in because we do have some before Christmas as well now.
Oh, cool.
It's a tiny bit confusing, the ticket system, because often it says one ticket, but actually what it means is it means a sort of table potentially.
Yeah.
Because like you're in twos and fours, six. Sorry, I'm doing sort of plugging for tickets, but it's just if anybody felt that they really wanted to come and join in. And because I think, I don't know, did you feel quite safe in there?
I felt totally safe. And also, I mean,
great.
Apart from Tracy wanted to touch my hair all the time, Tracy Day.
No, why, have you had something done special to her?
No, she adores me. No, she didn't touch my hair. We were socially distanced throughout. I felt totally safe there. And it's like I say, it didn't lose anything. And I mean, so Gary, as you know, is an actor, director, like extraordinary talent, an artistic director at True Story Theatre. And you often, I'm not sure if it's always, but often do your productions at the Spire. And this production is at the Spire too. And there is something about that venue that just lends itself to you. And lends itself to going to a production where it's like I say, that kind of extra space that we all had kind of made the sound resonate more, and just everything just felt more atmospheric.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of space above you, which I think helps. I think that gives you a sense of sort of freedom around you somehow. I think because you've got got a low ceiling, got something above you, but it does help. I've done I often do sound design for the shows because I'm just really interested in it. So I've managed to, I don't know if you noticed, I've managed to throw the sound around. So it feels
it really scared me.
Yeah, did it? Oh, good. It's sort of like surround sound, really. I've tried to make it sound like there are things coming from different directions. It's it's an interesting space like this. I mean, if anybody's seen it before, I suppose the difference is now I'm up on this platform. Although somebody came the other night, it was quite extraordinary, walked up to say hello at the end to me and went, I didn't realise you were on a stage. I was like, didn't you? She was like, no, it didn't occur to me that I was stood up on a stage. So, but I've had a brilliant team around me. It's really small this year. It's kind of quite moving. It's been quite moving for us as well, particularly at the end when you finish and you think, there's only five of us. There's literally five-handed crew as opposed to 25.
It's such an accomplishment. And like you said, we've talked to each other throughout this kind of whole journey of the pandemic.
Yeah.
You were never not going to do the show, were you? I remember you were very kind of upfront about how the challenges it would be and the take, but you always really wanted to do this show. Why did you feel so passionately about it?
I just feel like it's sort of my duty, sort of a bit of a civic duty, really, to try and provide something for the people of Brighton. And it isn't really about, I mean this honestly, it isn't really about me getting up there and you know, showing off. I've done it for too long, really, to feel like that. It was more about, we've got to respond somehow. And when we'd have funny meetings, we'd meet on a Monday and go, right, what are we going to do this week? By Wednesday, we'd sort of would have cancelled it. Then by next Monday, we'd start again on another one. And this was just where we ended up. I thought, well, how about just a one-man show, me on my own? So I'm on my own and I live in a little bubble on my own in a little tent at the back of the theatre. And I set all my, I have something like 78 props to set. I mean, it's fine, I'm not moaning, I just get on with it. But I do everything by myself and we thought, well, maybe that's manageable. And we all just stay away from each other and up to now, you know, clinging on by our fingernails, probably a little bit, we're managing to get it done. But I just felt it was important to try and do something.
Well, it's also a real tradition down here, isn't it? I mean, I haven't been here this long, but as soon as I got down here, lost count of the number of people that told me I had to go and see Christmas Carol at the Spire and also Frankenstein, Dracula, everything else you do there.
Yeah, it has become a bit of a tradition for people. I think it's sort of, it's often that, you know, I think some people go ice skating. I think some people do that thing at Christmas. Well, they can't do that this year, can you? I don't think it's available, is it, the ice skating?
You missed a trip. You should have brought some ice skating to the Spire.
Yeah, all you'd have to do is throw some water down on that floor and you'd have a rink within 20 minutes, I would imagine. it has become sort of a tradition. And I just thought, well, let's try and see what we can do. And James Turnbull, my producer, who's sort of stuck by me by thick and thin, he knows the risk that we've taken, and it's still a risk. But, you know, we just feel like if you make it, people will come and they'll support it somehow. And I think it's quite moving sometimes.
Well, is it? Because when we spoke at the end, we were like, you know, again, social distance, but and you saying that, and we all felt emotional. And then a woman came up and said, oh, I've just been crying. Why is it so emotional for you?
I think it's a bit like, it feels a bit like mountaineering, if in a stupid sort of way. It's a bit like climbing up to the top of a mountain every night. I think it's because I feel like I've done something for people. I think that's why I find it moving. It's just that I've managed to. I think within an hour, I don't know if you feel it. You shift from when you come in through the door and when you go out. A lot of people feel because of his transformation, because of Scrooge's transformation, and the journey he goes on. I feel that they go on a journey. Because I'll be honest, pandemic aside, I think Christmas is really stressful for a lot of people. Yeah. We often see people, well, I can't see them, most of them, because they've got masks on now, which is another sort of strange sort of setup. But I think people often, it's very stressful Christmas, and some people often turn up when we've done it before, like their heads are so full of things that they've got to do or haven't done, or time running out, or I shouldn't be here. And I think what's great about the space and the show and is that it transports you just for an hour of your life. And I think that was why Dickens wrote it. I think that's why he wrote it. I mean, it would have traditionally probably been read round the fire at Christmas. And I think that was the point, to stop and think and reassess and look at what you've got and what you haven't got. Look at what you have got. And I think that's the power of the story. And I think that sits aside from what I do with it. I think that is the story. And I think there's so many Christmas carols on this year. It's a kind of surefire sort of hit,
everyone's,
I think.
Everyone's seen how apt it is. But but the whole idea of like reassessing, that's what a lot of people have said about, possibly the only positive about this whole awful pandemic is a lot of people have used it as a reset. How has it affected you?
Yeah, I think it does. It has. Yeah, I suppose it has been a bit of a reset, really. I think it's, I don't know if it's totally reset me yet, but it's certainly affected a lot of friends and people and within the industry in a way that I didn't quite appreciate. Where people have struggled. I think it's hard to not do what you're used to doing and how that changes everything. And I'm hoping out of the other side, the reset button will be that. It will change possibly for the better, maybe in some ways, that we might have to relook at how we do theatre, and it could be a good thing, but it is tough on the industry, I think, at the moment, and it's tough all round, you know.
What's it like for you performing two people in masks? Could you see us?
No, it is problematic, but I think I'm getting my head around it. I can sort of hear muffled laughter occasionally, but I think I've got my head around it now. It's quite peculiar at first. I think as well, you know, people have just been very careful, so they don't move much. But I think they're on my side. I think.
Oh, they tell you. It must just be so weird not getting the reaction. I mean, you get reaction there. Everyone was laughing, and it was, you know, everyone was gasping, and it was brilliant. But yeah, it's just that kind of slightly suppressed version, which must be weird as a performer.
Yeah, but if it means we can do it, I'll take that.
Yeah.
If it means we can get it or not, I'll do it. Yeah, I think you know that a lot of the work that we have been doing, I suppose what I've always enjoyed as a performer, director or whatever, is that shared experience with an audience. I mean, that's why we've pushed to do it in a space, is because you're trying to have that connection. There is a barrier there, but I think it's funny, isn't it? I was walking around town with my son today and he's going, it's so weird, we've all got masks on and we've just accepted it. We have to, but it's like it's become how normalized it's become. But yeah, it has its challenges, but I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it.
I've got to be honest with you, Gary, I look better with a mask on. I'm kind of... Like I said to you, you've seen the best bit of me.
I was going to say, it depends whether if you think that which half of your face is the best.
The left hand
All
side.
Of your face. The left.
It'd be quite tricky.
You could have like a Phantom of the Opera style.
Do you want to hear something really shocking?
Yeah, go on. Go for it.
BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Surrey have got a panto and they've done it and they've recorded it. It's going out on Christmas Eve. And guess who's not in it?
You're not. Don't tell me you're not in it.
The Dame. Dame BB Lynch.
Why not? Why are you not in it?
I don't know. Do you want to call them?
Oh,
you're my agent, aren't you? You're my manager.
That's outrageous.
I'm furious.
Outrageous. Give me the number.
I'm giving you all the numbers.
I'll be your agent.
So are you still going to have a lovely Christmas? What are you going to do? Tell us something lovely.
Oh, well, we'll do something lovely here at home, I think. We do this thing called Kris Kringle. Have you ever done that? A friend's told us about it, where you
Isn't
unwrap
a Swedish
presents.
Thing or Dutch thing?
I don't know.
North European.
I think it's all of them. you wrap presents up and then you can keep the one that you've got, or you can ask for the one that someone else opened. And it's quite good fun. So
what?
We'll play
some.
It can be brutal.
So you buy each other things that you don't want?
Well, no, it's like a game. It's aside from the real presents, I suppose. But I'm trying to remember. You've got me now. I can't quite remember the rules. You pick a number out of the hat, and if you like it, you can keep it. But then if someone else likes the thing you've got, they can take it off you. It can be brutal.
This is the worst thing I've ever heard.
I don't know if you could.
I can't believe
it's a game.
That sounds absolutely appalling.
It's appalling. There were tears in this house.
Yeah,
a couple of days off, and then we're back doing it. So we've decided to extend.
Yeah, so let me give some details about that. So can you just not mention tears again? So you've got an extended run now. It was going to be... So it's running till 30th of December?
That's correct, yeah.
Two shows
a night?
So
we've extended. Two shows, 4:30 and 6:30.
And it was sold out before Christmas, but now there's some still on...
There's a few. It's just, it's poor people who have just suddenly had to isolate and things, so they lose. There's like a table, there's a big table of six free for Christmas Eve, if anybody...
Okay.
Which is usually quite a nice show.
Oh, that would be magical. Well, let me give out. So it's truestory-theatre.com. That's where tickets are available and the info. And like you say, if it says one ticket, that means kind of one group, one bubble. So
it'd be a two or four or six is what it'll be. I mean, you don't have to. I mean, obviously, it'd be better if there's six of you, but you don't have to fill out six seats. But that's how they're grouped.
Yeah. So I can't recommend it highly enough. I just honestly, I loved it. And I am famously the Grinch who stole Christmas, the Lynch who stole Christmas, rather. That joke would have worked better if I'd said the right name. But I loved it.
Playing the Dame with all your jokes like that, that's outrageous.
And you cheered me up. Can I wish you the happiest Christmas and an absolutely brilliant New Year?
You too. A very Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners.
And your show's amazing. Take care. And everyone goes truestory-theatre.com. Take care, Gary.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Here's The Blossoms and How Long Will This Last? The Blossoms and How Long Will This Last, which is a question most people say when they hear me and Tracy Davies on the radio together. Let me give you an intro.
Could go for hours.
Hours. Too long. Tracy, too long. Now, I've written you an intro. You ready?
Go on, please. Yes.
Okay, please. What are you wearing?
Better be nice. What am I wearing?
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, just my normal smoking jacket.
How delicious. This is your intro. I don't know how this one is back on the show, but let's welcome her anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, it's journalist and podcaster Tracy Davies.
Yay!
Oh, I love that. I'm going to have that as my ringtone.
We just chatted to Gary Sefton, and I just was telling him how much we loved his show at the Spire.
It was absolutely incredible. He is a wonder man.
Yeah. It wasn't. It didn't feel like it was lacking, did it? It didn't feel like we were seeing something. Despite it was like this, just this its own glorious entity.
Yeah, it was. It was really, really incredible. I just loved it, and I felt quite emotional about it at times.
Yeah, we loved it. So you're at home. I'm assuming you're at home. you've got a smoking jacket on, fluffy mules.
I have got my fluffy mules. I've also got a little glass of Prosecco on the go, because it's Christmas week. It's exciting.
Do you get excited about Christmas?
Oh my goodness. I get excited about Christmas. Not as excited as I get about my birthday, which is 6 days before Christmas. I love it.
Yeah. What do you love about it?
Oh, just all the eating, mainly. I like the eating, I like the presents. I like the day drinking. I like the showing off.
This is just your normal weekend.
Oh, that's true. Mind you, that could happen in April.
In April. Are you still good? So we got you on because we were like, Tracy's Friendo show, Friendo Station, fantastic journalist, travel journalist, but also fantastic writer across the board, podcaster, Carry On podcast, brilliant broadcaster. And we were like, how's the year been? BB and Tracy should discuss the year a bit. Now, remember, you're live on Channel 4.
I know, I've got it written on my hand.
Yes,
in sharp.
Yes, good,
Do
good.
Do not swear.
Do not swear. It's been quite the year, hasn't it? Especially for travel journalists.
I know. I'm a little... I'm now a retired travel journalist, as I haven't been anywhere for 9 months. But it's been a really sad year for travel. And I think that's the thing that, rather than just feeling sorry for myself, which, you know, I spent 4, 5, 9 months doing, I feel desperately sad for the travel industry. And I've seen some incredible companies fold, and people, you know, lost their livelihoods. And it's been really, it's been really sad. So I'm just hoping now the vaccine is well on its way that we can get back on track somehow next year, which will be great.
Do you think some of the companies that have folded, would that be forever? Do you think they might be able to come back?
Well, I'm kind of hoping. There was one company called Flashpack, which was fairly new, and it was doing really, really great things. And they're hoping to be able to come back, but they've had to fold for the time being because they just can't afford to keep running. Mm. But some, may or may not. I think it's been really, really hard for a lot of people.
Well, we were talking, you and I, when we went out the other night to see Gary's show, and about, you know, there's pretty much nothing great about the pandemic. It's just, I mean, it's. I still can't get my head around that it's happened. It's like, you know, this time last year, it was just a news item, wasn't it? I don't even mean
it. It feels like we're in a film.
Yeah.
It's like some dystopian film that we've wandered into.
Yeah.
And
the 12-month longest intro to a film. Yeah. But we were saying that maybe if there's anything positive, you know, and this is so down the scale because I do know how awful this is for everyone, is how people have adapted. And we were saying it in the context of the True Story Theatre Production Company's production at the Spire, just because they made something incredible out of, you know, a horrible situation. And people have had to adapt, haven't they? And you've adapted what you do.
I have. I've completely pivoted my career. Is that what pivoted? Yes.
Yeah, sure. We'll go.
From glamorous travel journalist and traveller of the world to egg delivery girl.
This is so girls brilliant.
Pushing it a bit, but
in good light.
Middle-aged woman. And it's just been it's been a real, it's actually been a real highlight. I've loved every minute of it, and I still do. I've been packing eggs tonight as we speak. And yes, a friend of mine, she used to work in events, and as soon as COVID hit, her events company completely, everything cancelled, and she pivoted too. And she managed to source some organic eggs from a local farm in Sussex and has been delivering bazillions of them for the last 9 months.
Isn't it?
Georgina Burrows, yeah, from Sussex Express.
Well, we had Georgina on. Yeah, we had her on the show because and she's had loads of press. She's really just stormed this.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. And this, for Christmas, we've done hampers. And, yeah, she's had an absolute storming because now we do sort of Sussex cheese and Sussex dairy produce and chutneys and coffee and all sorts of stuff, but all from the boundaries of Sussex. And it's gone incredibly well. In fact, I had the busiest week of my entire life last week packing up sending off hampers and delivering eggs and all sorts.
What a brilliant idea. Brilliant. Tell everyone, I'm going to regret saying it as soon as I say it, but do you wear anything special when you do the deliveries?
No, I do wear something quite special. Mm. And I almost have a movement because, so I wear a black T-shirt, which has two fried eggs on the front. So, you know, around the chest area, and I've been known to point them out to anyone saying, you know, it's just the egg lady, here I am, and I have been called the egg lady.
I'm sure you've been called other things, but if that's what you're going with, yes, the egg lady works. What else has been, how lucky are we though to live down here while this has been going on?
You know, the thing I've noticed the most is, you know, as much, I usually travel an awful lot for work and I love it and it's brilliant, but obviously I haven't been anywhere at all this year. But what I've found is that I've really embraced living in Brighton. So we've been here for 9 years and this is the first year I've swum in the sea, which is rubbish really really and like properly swim in the sea, and now I've been going through the year. So I started in April and I went at the weekend actually, and yeah, I'm still going through. It's just fantastic and I'm obsessed by swimming.
What do you wear?
So yeah, that's been a real, what do I wear?
Do you wear like a swim
a bikini?
You don't do a wetsuit?
No. Oh goodness me, no, that's cheating.
Is it?
Now I go in full bikini and I've got some little booties that I wear which keep my toes warm, and I'm just about to invest in some gloves too because it is a bit parky.
Gloves. Do you really think gloves are going to help when you are naked in the sea?
Well, I like to make the effort really, but do you know what, honestly, it's the absolute, I love it. I go 2 or 3 times a week and yeah, it's just, and there's a real scene down there. There's loads, everyone's in the bloody sea at the moment. Everyone's in the sea at the moment. You know, they're just, it's got a, there's a real sort of community down there. And yeah,
well, I've noticed that as being as someone who can't swim. So I feel excluded from that a little bit. If I can't, you know,
I'll teach you.
No, I don't trust you with my life. I'm sorry.
That's fair enough.
As much as I adore you, I don't trust you with that. Is there anything else that you've kind of, what will you take from this year, Tracy Davies?
Oh, goodness me. Well, I think I've aged about at least 20 years. But luckily, I looked really young before.
You
so
do
that's
look
fine.
Very young.
I do look very young. I don't know. I think it's, what I really like is there's some real kindness out there, and the decent people will have made it worthwhile, to be honest. I think it's, it's shown some real good in people. It's and bad, of course, but mainly, so that's been really nice, and I really just appreciate where we live and being by the sea and, you know, having the Downs on our doorstep as well. It's just, it's been a really funny year, but, you know, it is what it is, isn't it?
What are you hoping for 2021?
Oh God, I really really hope I can go travel again. Been here a long time. I really hope vaccine gets rolled out to everybody and things can start to get back to some sort of normality. Would be great.
It would be great, wouldn't it?
Also, I want to go to Glastonbury.
Why?
I had tickets to Glastonbury this year.
Oh, you're having such a crisis, aren't you?
I know. Midlife crisis. Mwah.
How, is it rude to ask you how old you are?
Oh, it's really rude, but yeah. I've literally just turned 49.
So you know you... Wow, you do look very young. No, you look really young. I'm shocked. But you know that means that you've only got a year left in my company because I can't possibly have friends over 50.
Well, I have heard that. But I'm going to make it such a year to remember that we probably will never have to be friends after that. I think we'll overdo it. It'll be like that. Was it farewell on the 19th of December, 2021, it'd be a fair farewell.
And tell me,
we'd have had a great year.
What a 12 months. Tell me what you're going to do on Christmas Day then. What's your day? Have you got anything special to do?
Always. So my absolute favourite thing to do on Christmas Day is take part in the Christmas Day swim.
You are out of control.
I know. It was such a show off. But it's just, honestly, the atmosphere down there, it's a real Brighton tradition for me. So, I'm looking forward to that. I might even drag one of the kids in with me if they want to. And even if they don't want to, I might do it as well. But
can I ask the fun sponge, but safety first question? How are they going to... So how many people will turn up for that? How do we make that kind of safe, COVID safe?
Well, I think it's looking like the tide's pretty low, and there are often sort of lifeguards down there. I mean, people shouldn't, but it's just become a thing. So people are down there to patrol it and make sure. And as long as with lots of people and fairly safe, you're only in for about 40 seconds max. And because it's very cold. It is very cold, but it's brilliant. It's a really great atmosphere.
It's a lovely thing. So I love that you've kept your pecker up, if I can use that expression. I don't know what that means, but I'm glad that you have. Well done, you and your pecker.
I'm very proud of my pecker.
You really should be. I hope I see... Well, I'm going to try and come and see you on the Christmas swim. I will be waving. I'll be the one with armbands and a rubber ring around her waist. Not even near the sea.
I would love to see you paddle in the sea.
I bet you would.
On Christmas Day.
No, I can have an eggnog in one hand. Can I just apologise for saying pecker?
I'm going to hold that against you. I'm going to hold that pecker against you. And then
Stop saying pecker. Honestly, she's so awful. Tracy, have a lovely, lovely, lovely Christmas. And I wish you such a gorgeous new year. Aww. You're going to have... Also, you know what you haven't told people? I'm not sure if I'm allowed to tell people.
Oh, no.
If I give the initials, but then you might not guess it. You are... What's that? W-ing A-S-C.
W-N-A.
What you do for a living. You are W-ing an S-C, but S-C could be one word.
Oh, goodness me. I don't know. You've confused me. I've had a glass of fizz.
Crying
Bobo.
Out
What's
loud.
Going on?
You've been writing a...
book.
And...
a sitcom.
There you go. I'm wishing you... This is actually... I tell you what. Wogan never had this problem. for the kids listening.
You didn't tell me there'd be any tricky questions.
I didn't realise there'd be a tricky question about your own, what you actually do with your time. But I wish you luck with all of that because you're so funny.
Thank you.
Book is going to be amazing. The sitcom's going to be incredible.
Bless you.
Yeah. All right, my darling. So how can... Let's talk about X. How do people find out about the podcast? Where do they find you?
The podcast, we're at thecarryonpodcast.com and we're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all the favourite delicious podcast hosts. And you can buy our eggs at sussexexpress.co.uk.
This is so great. I'm now playing a track that I think it's your second favourite song.
Is it? Oh my goodness.
Spice Girls, Two Become One. It's not ABBA.
Oh my God.
Spice Girls. Goodbye. Bye.
Merry Christmas, BB.
Merry Christmas. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Dreamy Spice Girls and Two Become One. I'm BB Lynch. This is BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Surrey, live and local. Dua Lipa, and Levitating. I love that song. Producer Ollie loves that song. I may have just ruined that song by that. Bacano, I think we call it. Let's take a look at the weather. It's staying largely cloudy tonight with rain at times. It will be breezy at first, but winds will ease later on. It's going to be a fairly mild night. Temperature, minimum temperature, 10 degrees Celsius. That's 50 degrees Fahrenheit. And tomorrow looks set to be cloudy and damp with further pulses of rain and drizzle spreading from the west. Winds will be mostly gentle, though. Maximum temperature, 13 degrees Celsius. That's 55 degrees Fahrenheit.
BBC Radio Sussex.
I really love that, Harry Styles and Watermelon Sugar. And I'm sure it's not politically the right thing to do politically within a radio studio to talk about another producer of mine. But producer Sam, when he goes to get his hair cut, he just takes a picture of Harry Styles. And so he gets a Harry Styles card, which I really love because he's got great hair. Oh, I am so excited about this interview. So this is such a gorgeous story. This came to us and I was like, oh, I love this. BAFTA-nominated filmmaker Dylan Hewitt is making a documentary about Sussex textile artist Alan Brown. And Alan has spent the last 5 years creating a dress made of thread that he has hand-spun from nettles he's foraged on the South Downs. 5 years, chaps. There's a Primark down the road. 5 years.
Yeah, Alan. Yeah. Quite a lot of that time was actually just trying to work out if it was possible and how to do it. And then, you know, spinning and weaving up little samples just to see what the actual fabric was going to feel like.
Yeah.
And then, the last sort of 2 or 3 years has been full on just producing enough thread to make a dress from.
Tell me, so Alan, tell me why you wanted to do this in the first place.
It was, I can only describe it as idle curiosity that got completely out of hand, really.
That's my career.
It was just fiddling around with nettles and realizing that there is this beautiful fiber in there. And I hadn't done anything textile based at all. So in order to actually realize it and make it into something, I sort of just had to pick up all the skills that I would need and learn to spin and learn to weave and that sort of thing. So, and it is an amazing fiber. I mean, I realized that even though it's quite hard to get to, it is extraordinarily soft, and it used to be known as in Northern Europe as the silk of the north.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a really gorgeous, soft and strong fibre.
So I guess what you've done as well, you're recreating how, you know, prehistoric people would have made cloth, would have woven cloth.
Yeah, there's definitely parts of it where, you know, I mean, that's kind of really an archaeology and history. There are samples of nettle fabric found in graves that have been preserved, and yeah, we could see that certainly in the Bronze Age nettles were being used and spun to a really, really high standard.
What's the style of dress you're going to go for? Say a mini dress, don't say a maxi. You could be there for 20 years.
I kind of wish I'd gone that way now. What I settled on in the end was a sort of medieval stroke Viking type design, because they wove their dresses with very, very little wastage of cloth. It was all kind of the shape that the cloth comes off the loom cut in certain ways. So it won't be particularly fitted, but it will. I've made little mock-ups of it, and it does look really cute. So it'll be full length and sort of maybe 3/4 sleeve.
This is so cool. And is it green?
Some of it starts off green. It depends sort of quite how you process it. But over time, it fades to kind of like a natural linen colour, sort of beigey, off-white.
Dylan, it's going to be a stupid question because I already know. But you know, mm-hmm. what drew you to this story?
Well, I mean, Alan's an old friend of mine. And a few years ago, he was telling me about, you know, these experiments he'd been doing with nettles, and I was like, wow, that sounds amazing, I want to see that. And so we decided to sort of do a little how-to video, and we spent a day up on the South Downs sort of filming them and picking the nettles and stripping them and splitting them and then spinning them. And it's just an amazing thing to see, you know. And I edited together a little film, and we put it online thinking it would be of interest to a very niche audience, but only to find it went completely viral. And last I looked, I think it had over 4 million hits, this video.
You're kidding.
So it really struck a chord with people for some reason. That was the start of it. It sort of, and since then, we set up a group on Facebook called Nettles for Textiles, which I think has about 16,500 members all from all around the world. And they're all really active, sharing all these beautiful things they're making and all of that. So that's how it started.
Do you think people are really kind of, this has captured people because it's really, you know, kind of important now to like to respect the earth and make things as naturally as possible and to kind of go back to more literally roots? Do you think people are kind of...
I think it's got lots of different things. I think one of them is about sustainability. You mentioned Primark earlier. I mean, it's about, it does touch on sort of our relationship to the sort of material things we consume. And actually, just funnily enough, the other day we were talking to our local MP, Caroline Lucas. She was talking about how they'd been questioning some people on a select committee about how they could charge 10p for an item of clothing, you know, and it's that sort of thing about how does that price reflect the labour or the environmental cost. So things are so out of whack on that. And then you compare that to the Nettle dress. I know it's a bit of an extreme example, but, you know, something made by hand using materials picked only within a few miles of where Alan lives, it's a whole different notion of sort of value, really. So there's that. But I think also that it's also just, I think it struck a chord just simply because it's a nice thing to watch. It's very meditative.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. So you've got, you know, a little decaf on the go and poor Alan is having to, you're just filming it. What are you doing, Alan? So you pick the nettles and you boil them. I mean, I have no idea.
The process is sort of similar to how you traditionally process hemp and flax and any of those bast fibres. So I just pick them sort of July through to September usually, and you strip off all the foliage and then take the stalks. They don't sting by that stage after you've flattened all the hairs out. And then you just lay them down on some grass for a week, usually does it, and that's called retting. Which is just an old word for rotting. You're just letting the sort of soil microbes just break the glues and pectins down a bit. And then you strip it and you get it off in long ribbons. But when you start to scrape it with like a blunt table knife and get rid of the sort of outer bark, which comes away as a dust, suddenly these amazing fibers start to emerge. And they get shorter and shorter as you process them because nettle's actually quite a short fibre. But once it's spun up, it's, the finished cloth, it really feels great. I mean, it's still, I can only spin so fine. So it's kind of like a heavy linen type of feel. But it's sort of somewhere between linen and cotton. It's quite fluffy, the fibre, but when it's woven, it's soft. And I think it's as a full garment, which I've yet to feel. I'll certainly be trying to squeeze myself into the dress to have a feel of it.
There's your follow-up film, Dylan.
Absolutely, yeah, most certainly.
I'm so intrigued by this, and also because I'm slightly OCD, I'm worried about how you're going to clean it. Do you know what I mean? It's like this is going to be the most delicate item ever. I know you're doing the film, and that of course will be the documentary will be an amazing way to document this forever, but will you display it somewhere?
Yeah, I'm really hoping to. I mean, as Dylan was saying about the Nettle for Textiles group, there's loads of people all around the world starting to make some really awesome things. And I'd love to be able to get a few shows on around the place just to bring all that stuff together. Because it's like, I think it's probably going to be the greatest range of nettle goods since the Bronze Age, all in one place.
Yeah, it's amazing. Dylan, so you did the how-to video that went viral. What would we see in the documentary? So you've filmed a lot of the documentary already, and you've got a Kickstarter going, which closes tomorrow.
That's right. So, since that first video, I just kind of kept on filming, and I made a couple more little short films that did well as well. And but then we sort of thought, well, let's make a longer film and let's just tell this whole 5-year story. So that's why we decided to set up a Kickstarter to raise money. And it will sort of show the whole process, you know, the harvesting, the stripping, the spinning, the weaving, the whole lot. And I've also been filming sort of beautiful shots of the downs over the seasons as well. So that'll be all threaded through. We've raised about £7,000 so far. But if anyone listening thinks this sounds interesting, they'd like to support what we're doing, then I think you just need, just search Kickstarter and the Nettle Dress and you'll find us.
The Nettle Dress, Kickstarter, the Nettle Dress. What? How much do you need?
That's our initial target. We've hit that. But I mean, my day job's working in TV, making films, and as you, I'm sure you know as well, BB, you know, 7,000 doesn't get very far in terms of the quality of the film we want to make. Normally, you know, a half hour film might be 50,000 to 70,000, yeah, you know. So, but I'm doing everything because I shoot and edit as well. So, but yeah, so there isn't really a sum, but just any amount we can get is going to make for a better film, because we're also raising money for sort of some kind of a launch event, so that we can have, you know, maybe some sort of alternative fashion show or something that, you know, COVID permitting, of course, that we can put on, with which displays the dress and maybe some other sort of garments as well.
I'm so into this. So what you know, the group, the Nettles for Textiles, what other things have people made?
A lot of people are sort of, I mean, it's really varied. I mean, one of our members, Catherine, makes very loose, knitted and crocheted sort of shawls. And that nettle lends itself to that really well. When it's woven, it's not delicate at all. It's like it's very, very strong feeling. Mm. But when it's knitted in a more open sort of lace-like thing, it's very drapey and soft. And so her stuff's gorgeous. And then another woman in Canada is going a different route altogether, and she's kind of not processing it as far and plaiting and braiding this jacket out of nettles, and it just looks nothing like what I'm doing. But yeah, so because it's such a new field, it's really exciting. Anyone who gets interested, you know, can take it forward, and that's really the sort of aim of the group, just to sort of refined an ancient thing which there's no, you know, very little to draw on. It's an open field.
I totally love this. You know you need to be making face masks out of it.
I know, if it wasn't so time consuming, COVID would have come and passed before I got one finished.
Dylan, where and do you want the film to be shown in cinemas? Is that the aim?
I would love to. I mean, you know, it'd be great to show it, for example, in Brighton or something. But I mean, I'd love to get it on TV as well. But I mean, with the success we've had online, that's good as well, because you suddenly realise that, you know, maybe there's just a few hundred thousand here and there of people who might be into this, but it all adds up around the world.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they've all got access to this. It's quite amazing.
So where can we? So what we should do now? I'm going to just make it home. Is watch it online and see what we've got, because that's going to spur some people, isn't it? So is it just on YouTube?
Yeah, well, I mean, if people just Google Kickstarter, the Nettle Dress, and come, there's a film that I've put on there, which just sort of gives quite a good taste of everything that I've been filming. And if anyone wants to pledge, there's all kinds of nice rewards as well. Like you can have your name as a producer on the credits, or get a DVD, or come on a ramble with Alan and myself, or even have an original nettle weaving made by Alan. So there's lots of really nice rewards for anyone.
Does Alan know that you've signed him up for that?
Yes, he does. He said, I think there's about five people he's got a lot on his hands at the moment, so I think five people have gone for that. So.
Do you know what I love as well about this? So we had, Liam was on earlier doing a TV review and telling us what's coming up at Christmas, and he was talking about the Mortimer and Whitehouse Gone Fishing Christmas special. And this kind of feels like this might, is there any of your relationship in the film? Like, do you know what I mean?
A little bit. Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of my voice behind the camera. And actually thinking about it, we went out and camped one night and filmed a kind of chat around the campfire, which I haven't put in anything yet, but that could possibly go in.
Oh, this just sounds so gorgeous. What a brilliant, and as well, filming the Downs and just seeing that through the seasons. It's just, that's your natural thread for you, excusing using the word thread all the time, but you know, it's your natural connection, isn't it? Oh, I wish you so much luck with this. It sounds so lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bibi.
And so it's Kickstarter, the Nettle Dress, and people can pledge and people can look at the film you've put together right now, just so people can just see what else is going on with it.
Absolutely.
Cool. Keep us posted. And I'd like to put an order in. I'd like some leg warmers. No, I don't know what I want, but I'm intrigued.
We'll get those to you within the 25 years, I reckon.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Stevie.
Take care.
All the best. Bye.
Bye.
Kygo, Whitney Houston, and Higher Love. I really enjoyed that. The nettle dress. Doesn't that sound like straddling bonkers, but brilliant? Like absolutely fascinating. I would watch hours of that. When I go home, I'm going to get myself a little vodka and slimline and some pasta. And I'm going to... So it's Kickstarter, the nettle dress, and there's a film on there already showing just maybe... I think it's the film that went viral. What did Dylan say? 4 million viewers. I mean, it's extraordinary. But you can totally see how that would capture people. I love it. I love it. I love it. I also love... I really want... So I've played three artists tonight that I've got drunk with. And I know that's a name drop, but it's not a name drop because I'm not telling you who the artists are, except one of them's this lot. It's Travis and Nina's song. Lady Gaga, Poker Face, After the News, is Festive Upload. Bruno Mars and Locked Out of Heaven. Oh, there's a joke. I'm not even going for it. So it's not just upload time. It's Christmas upload time. So yeah, Christmas in a few days. You know what that means? Three things. I'm upping my chocolate intake by around 2,000%. It's the one time of year that we can have an excuse to leave our stockings just lying around the house, and it's time, most importantly, for the BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Surrey upload Christmas party. Now producer Ollie has cracked open a bottle of supermarket owned brand Irish cream liqueur. Look at him. Oh, he's drunk. He has one drink and he's altered. I've got my red dress on, he wishes. And we're getting stuck into all your Christmas uploads. Before things get too rowdy and we start raiding the stationery cupboard, love a post-it. We should get the kids out of the way so they can go to bed, all right? So our first festive upload comes from Joe Butt and Year 5 Red Class from West Chiltington Community School, who have recorded their very own Christmas song. This is I Want to Be an Elf.
Live and local.
Upload.
BBC Radio Sussex.
Joe Butt, I Want to Be an Elf. We can hear just how much Joe wants to be an elf because he's on the line and joins us now. Hello.
Hello, baby. Hello.
Oh, that's made me grin like a fool.
Makes me grin hearing it on the radio, actually.
Oh, wasn't it just... How old's year five? How old are the kids?
Year 5 and 9 and 10.
Oh, they sounded so sweet.
They're brilliant. It's a class, not a choir. So, yeah. You know, everyone's in it and everyone sang their hearts out and it's really good. We had to do it a little bit by little bit, really, just to get the tuning right. But it was really good and they love it.
Oh, it's so cute. I love the... look at the state of him. He can't be an elf. Look at the state of him.
Oh, great. You know, you're the first person to pick up on that, yeah. Yeah, anyone could be an elf. You've just got a dream, yeah. That's me and my son, that is. Yeah. Had a little bit of fun.
A little bit David Bowie there.
Yes, actually, yeah, that's correct. Yes, I'd just probably use the same effect on the vocal, yeah.
So how did you get involved with this?
I wrote the song a couple of years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago. I wrote the song as a kind of challenge to myself. I wanted to write a Christmas song. I kept hearing about Lottie Holder's pension plan, you know, and so I thought... I'm going to write a Christmas song. I'm sure I could. I write lots of songs anyway, and I have a couple of albums and that sort of thing. And so I sort of went through and I've made sure, baritone, saxophone, check, and sleigh bells and tinkle bells and all the rest of it. And then I had to have children's voices on it.
Yeah.
And my son also writes some records, and he wrote a Christmas song. I said, well, you can't have yours out before I have mine out. So I recorded it with my class, my current class. And so they kind of got lucky. Or I got lucky, I guess. And then it turns out that one of the parents works with Warner Music, and so they've released it for me.
Well, that was handy, Harry.
It was pretty good, yeah. I was quite impressed, really, yeah.
So how old's your son if he's recording too?
He's 26 now, yeah, Victor Butt. Yep, you can check him out, Victor Butt Music.
What a great name. You're not old enough to have a 26-year-old.
No, I really, really am, yeah, I really am. He's not even my oldest. You're very kind, thanks.
Serious?
Yeah, no, that's really good. I mean, he's written his Christmas song and that's out, and so yeah. I had to get it done. I had to get it done in order. And the other thing is, of course, that the proceeds of the song I'm splitting it with the school. So anyone downloads it off iTunes or Amazon or whatever, any of those platforms, and the school gets half the money, which is nice. And
oh, that's so lovely.
That's kind of better for cheapskates, really, I suppose, Spotify.
so you record, so you sing and record and write, and you teach as well then?
Yes, that's right, yes. But I teach primary school, so I teach everything. But yes, I sing, write and record music, yes.
What a lovely combination.
Well, it's nice to be able to give them the opportunity. They love it. They love being able to search Red Class on Spotify and getting themselves on there.
Oh, I hope they listen tonight.
Cool thing to do. Yeah, no, I will. They will be. I hope you're having a good break, kids, and I'll see you on the 5th. All right.
Yes.
Just in case.
Have you been in? Sorry, go on.
Sorry, I was just going to say, if you're still listening, I did forget to set your homework over Christmas, so I'll make up for it when we get back.
What do they call you? Do they call you Sir?
No, they call me Mr. Butt.
Mr. Butt is just teasing, yep. Kids. He's just messing around. He's never giving you homework ever again because we all know. What's the point? What's the point, Mr. Butt?
They love it. They love doing it. It's all online and they get to sort of submit it in there. Yeah, they do. They're good. They're all right. They like a bit of hard work.
So teaching during this whole time must have just been challenging.
Yeah, it is really tricky, and one of the things is that we don't really get a break from each other. Me and the children, there's no mixing with other classes because we're in a bubble. So yeah. It's just me, my teaching assistant Jill, and the children all day really. Apart from the short, we have a little lunch break, and you know, I mean, I'm most teachers would say this to you that being a teacher is a bit of a performance. You know, you can't really be yourself. You've got to be quite, you know, inhibited in certain ways.
Yeah.
And so keeping that up all day without a break is quite tiring, really. And I think most teachers would say to you that this term has been one of the hardest ever in our careers. And I've been doing it 25 years.
Do we hope that things are going to change soonish?
Yeah, I hope so. It can't last forever, can it?
It can't last forever. Are you still going to have a lovely Christmas?
Yeah, I'm still going to enjoy Christmas. Yeah, of course, yes. And you know, it's a family time anyway, and you know, I have my family around me, so that'll be cool. Yeah, that'll be
I might
right.
come and see you.
Hmm?
Don't pretend you didn't hear what I just said.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm in Littlehampton. Yeah, Littlehampton, Sussex, of course, radio.
I honestly love that song so much. It's so
really
brilliant.
I'm really glad you do. Well, keep playing it then. That'd
yeah, I will.
Too. Yeah,
I will.
We just need to get on one of those kind of random Christmas playlists that Spotify have so that we end up having... having, you know, lots of people listening to it and good, but it'll always be a BBC Sussex.
Oh, you sweetheart. Yeah, it's ours. We've got ownership. Yeah. I'm really excited about your pension plan. It's such a good idea. So where can we find you? You online? You on social?
I am Joe Butt, and I'm on Spotify. I have a couple of albums of my own songs on there. And I'm also Joe Butt Decent Pop Music on Facebook. I did a daily gig online every day through lockdown until I got to about 155. Then I went back to teaching. Yeah, I wasn't going to do it every day, but it kept me kind of in, you know, working.
Yeah.
And I think I ended up doing 910 different songs overall, but I did end up doing some repeats. But it built up a lovely community of people. So now I only play every Saturday and Tuesday because I can't go out and gig. So I have a couple of bands as well. I'm in a band called The Boy Wonders, which plays my songs.
Yeah.
And I'm in a band called Rembrandt, which is an REM tribute band. So,
it's brilliant.
Pretty out there. But of course, the bands aren't working at the moment.
I know. Do you know what? You saying that about, I think it's so brilliant you did that, like, you know, gig every day online. And it's kind of like how people say with childbirth, you kind of forget the pain so you can do it again.
Yeah,
I've kind of forgotten loads of things that kind of happened, the painful stuff and the good stuff throughout this whole pandemic. Yeah. And at the weekend, I watched the Andrew Marr show, as I do every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a montage about the whole, like, the journey of the pandemic, and it was, and I kind of forgot that there was that kind of real neighbourhood stuff going on, the kind of the diary angle of everything that happened. It was really emotional watching it.
Yeah, I agree. It is a kind of I mean, they talk about new normal, and we all talk about this new normal, and we don't want the sort of fact that we don't really get to mix with each other to be the new normal. So that was one of the things that, just playing to a reasonably sized audience where they all started talking to each other and it took on a life of its own, it kind of replaced that sense of community that we all take for granted.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's been such a time, isn't it? But
it's been weird.
Oh, I wish you the happiest Christmas and a really
And to you, baby. And to you, lovely to meet you and talk to you.
It's been lovely to talk to you. And say hello to the kids.
I will.
Go to bed, you lot. Did they get you presents or a card?
They did. I was really spoiled. Yes, I have many. I spoke to one person and said that my favourite tipple was red wine, and I have a dozen bottles of red wine and cards.
Aww.
And chocolate and shortbread and loads of lovely beer and some lovely personal gifts. I'll tell you what, though, and I know this is another thing that we all say, those little comments you get in the cards where people sort of say, you know, we're really glad you're our teacher sort of thing, those are the things that really, really make the difference. Those are the things we kind of keep, even if we don't keep them physically, we definitely keep them, you know, we always remember that.
That is so lovely. That is so lovely. Take care, and thank you for sending your song in.
We absolutely
love it here.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye. And you. Bye-bye.
JC Stewart and the rest of my life. Oh, so we've just had, Joe Biden's just had his first Pfizer vaccine shot live on telly. That's kind of cool to watch. I think he's got a double mask on as well. And that looked painless. And as Ollie was saying, that's pressure on for that nurse that was doing that. But there were no shaky hands. He didn't wince. It all looked great. Yeah, that things like that look like make you feel like the, even though it's kind of gone a bit doubly crazy right now, things will change. It's all going to be okay. So the party's continuing. Ollie is doing some shots of tequila and, yeah, crying. And then threatening me with karaoke. Yeah. I've got a vibrato that would shock you, Ollie. So it's time for our next upload before he gets too emotional. Greg Tafe went to university in Brighton and he sent in his song called Christmas 2020, which he describes as a fun, insightful and catchy way to describe this year's unusual Christmas. Let's hear it. Merry Christmas, Greg. Greg Tafe's Christmas 2020. And if you're inspired to produce something creative over the festive period, maybe you'll write a betwixtmas poem. Betwixtmas, that's not a word. We'd love to hear it. All the information you need is at bbc.co.uk/upload. It's the Bieber rocking around the Christmas tree. Jake Bug, All I Need. So the outlook for the rest of the week, Wednesday will be a wet, windy and cloudy day with heavy rain looking to persist for many. Rain will persist into the evening before clearing to the east overnight. Christmas Eve will turn more settled but chilly as a ridge of high pressure begins to build. However, there will be a few sunny spells. Christmas Day looks to be breezy and cloudy but mostly dry.
But you're just a boy.
If I were a boy, Beyonce. Well, the Upload Christmas party continues and it's Secret Santa time. Now, unfortunately, because of the COVID restrictions, obviously Ollie and I aren't allowed in the same room together. So I bought myself a gift and I've wrapped it. And let me unwrap it now. And I'm so old now, I just can't remember what I even got myself. And I bought myself a charming festive mug. I'm so great. How lovely. I would tell you what Ollie's bought for himself, but he's currently sitting on the photocopier. So let's just crack on with the next upload. And it comes from Pam Flitt and Ivor Folio, who are writing and performing partners and can normally be found reading poems and singing songs and other silly things. This is the cracker song in the traditional musical tradition. Now, you know, normally when you hear the line, "How's your father?" in a song, you respond with, "All right." But Flitt and Folio say they're far too posh for that. So would rather you respond with, "Very well, thank you." Steve who play. That was Flit and Folio with the Cracker Song. And if you've written something with subtle or not so subtle innuendo, why not slip it in our inbox? Head on over to bbc.co.uk/upload for all the details. Good as hell, Lizzo and Ariana Grande. That song is too short. I could listen to 3 days of that. It makes me sad because our last year's BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Sorry Christmas Party, we were dancing to that, and it reminds me of Ali so much. Ali was, giving it everything, giving it her all. Well, the Upload Christmas Party is coming towards its end, a natural end, a necessary end. Our paper hats have torn and producer Ollie has spilt wine all down his new dress. So we better wrap things up with our final upload of the evening. And even though it is the 21st of December, for Paul Rogers, it's Christmas Eve. And this is his song, Christmas Eve. That was Christmas Eve by Paul Rogers. Paul's originally from West Sussex, but currently living in Seattle. I love the Christmas upload. If you've recorded something based around your favourite day of the year, I mean, it's only 16 days until National Shortbread Day, send it in to us at bbc.co.uk/upload. And thank you so much for your festive uploads. They've made my night. They've made Ollie kind of emotional. I mean, really, really emotional. George Michael, Mary J. Blige, and As. I cannot tell you how much I love that track. I play that at least once a week. It's, amazing. Rich the Angry Builder. Hi, Sleepy. Hi, Rich. That last ditty sounded like Ivor Cutler. It really did. Paul Rogers, it sounded like Ivor Cutler. You're right. Happy Christmas, Rich. And happy Christmas to everyone. I want to thank our brilliant guests this evening, Liam Dempsey, Gary Sefton, Tracy Davies, Alan Brown and Dylan Hewitt and Joe. But thank you so much for joining us. And I'm not here next week. So I want to wish you all the happiest Christmas. And more important than that, an incredible 2021, because we all deserve something fabulous, don't we? Take care. Lots of love. This is Meant to Be BB Rexha, Florida Georgia Line.